This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are back, top of the hour, VSiN by the Books. And right now, we got a great offer for you. If you have not already become a VSiN Pro subscriber, $9.99. You can sign up today because the College Football Betting Guide is out right now as we speak. So again, that's an intro offer. There are other offers out there. You can extend this for 50% off all the way through the Super Bowl if you would like. But if you just want to get in on today and you're not a VSiN Pro subscriber, $9.99, VSiN.com/subscribe. It's fantastic. Matt Eumann's got his preseason top 50 for you. Previews of all 138 FBS teams, best bets, conference champs from our host and experts here at the network. So check it out today. Much more college football talk, certainly some NFL talk here. Get ready for preseason action to begin tomorrow here in the NFL. But Jensen, let's go back to Major League Baseball because it was a big day for the Dodgers and their new starting left-hander. That's where we begin today's edition of our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Tarik Skubal did make that first start as a Dodger. Didn't get the win, 5-1. The Cubs get the W there, but he was decent. Six innings, six Ks out there. His first time out as a Dodger. He mentioned how nervous he was making his debut for the Dodgers. And then there's George Lombard Jr., who made his debut, got a home run in a Yankees 2-0 win yesterday. So different types of debuts, one an actual one and one with a new team, Jensen. But I think we're going to be talking a lot about these guys here down the stretch for the Yankees and for the Dodgers, that's for sure.
Well, it feels like Tarik Skubal needs to be the shot in the arm, the proverbial arm at that of the LA pitching staff. They've since July 1st, Dodgers underwater, 13-15 in the win-loss column. They are now losers of 5 in a row after the Cubs had a game-tying homer from Dansby Swanson, able to kind of dink and dunk and get a ball that Kyle Tucker unable to corral, headed into the wall in right center field. And so the Cubs now able to potentially complete a sweep of the LA Dodgers here later on today. Just food for thought, and I wanted to bring it up. The Dodgers, with their 13 wins since July 1st, you are looking at a team that has about a 4.5 ERA in that span. And I think just still watching the rehab timelines of not only Blake Snell, Tyler Glass now, when will Shohei Ohtani be able to get back fully onto a mound and maybe into a big league game in September, if at that. Something to follow here. On the flip side of it, Dave, your Milwaukee Brewers, number one overall seed bet. They are 18-12, the Brewers are, since July 1st. The only team better than them, and this is still eye-popping to see, the Boston Red Sox are 24-4 since July 1st. It's ridiculous the run the Red Sox have been on so far.
What year was it for the Tigers? Was it 83, 84? I'm trying to remember when they got off to, I think it was a 24-4 start and went on to win the World Series that year. That's the Kirk Gibson year, way, way, way back when. One of the best starts ever in the history of Major League Baseball. But when you put it in that context, Jensen, 24-4 now for the Red Sox. This is kind of crazy what they're doing with another win yesterday as they slap around the White Sox yesterday as well. So the Red Sox show no signs of slowing down. Tampa Bay did have a big comeback win last night in Colorado. So with the Yankees winning, the Red Sox still winning, and the Rays winning, that division, boy, it feels like three pretty darn good teams here down the stretch they come. Talk much more Major League Baseball Daily Diamond coming up straight ahead here. This is a big deal in the NFL. Zay Flowers, four-year extension, $140 million is that extension. Over $100 million of that will be guaranteed. So Jensen, Zay Flowers and the Ravens, they are joined at the hip. Young, talented receiver, maybe a little bit more than what we thought. And I think that's a good sign out there for other receivers. Not to say it resets the market, but certainly does help set it if you feel like you're in an echelon that's slightly above Zay Flowers.
I love the move. I've been bullish, and maybe I am super bullish on the Ravens as far as our NFL betting guide is concerned. I do have them winning the AFC this year. They lock up their primary offensive weapon on the outside there for years to come. Is he worth the Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Drake London, Jaxon Smith-Njigba money? We're going to find out, Dave. You and I know a lot of these contracts predicated on past performance, not necessarily of the production for the future. However, the Ravens can't go anywhere without an outside threat and a deep threat. And hopefully this is there's something about these deals, Dave, where there is a mental clarity and an ability to stop worrying, but you also don't want to lose the motor. You also don't want to lose that motivation for the athlete. Okay, I got my egg. I'm good. I don't have to worry about money the rest of my life. You hope not. But hopefully that this is enough to kind of ease everything and move forward and really have Zay Flowers have a big year.
And it's also, that's what the market will bear. And we're all about capitalism here on VEASAN by the Books. And if you can go get it, young man, Zay Flowers, go get it. And he just went and got that bag there from Baltimore. It's a tough one down there in the ATL. And we talk about it each and every day here, sadly, as we get ready for training camps that have already begun and then preseason football. And I keep mentioning we're going to bring you another one probably tomorrow, too. It's not good. Jalen Walker, feared to have been lost for the entire year here in the ATL. Very talented second-year player. And really helped to transform their defense last year. Remember, coming into the year last year, they were one of the worst pass rushing teams in the NFL. He was a big reason why they changed that last year. Jensen, without him this year, that defense might take a big step back. And that's part of the equation as to why I like the Falcons this year. And now without 11, that's a tough break this early in the year.
Not only that, Dave, but we also have issues for the Chargers offensive line. It's Rashawn Slater again leaving with an apparent injury. If we can get Madison Beer, out there and as she was caressing, Justin Herbert's Goldilocks there, can we get her there to help these boys stay online? I mean, let's go. Man. We got to protect the investment here. That is a remarkable trend that we've seen, Dave. So many of these line both offensive and defensive guys that have had these season enders early and also significant ones. This is, again, the beauty of our NFL betting guide 2.0, Dave, where, hey, before preseason starts and everything, we got a good idea of what we think is right. And now these injuries probably going to affect, especially the season enders, what we will have forecasted out before NFL week one.
And yes, everybody does have injuries out there. That is for sure. But when you lose like a Walker, and we'll find out about Rashawn Slater there, and we saw what that offensive line looked like without Slater and without Alt, and you saw Justin Herbert running for his life last year, it's difficult. It's difficult to overcome some of the key cogs in the machine we just talked about with Micah Parsons and the Packers. They're waiting to get their star defensive edge rusher back here, hopefully by the midway part of the year. What's the quarterback situation going to look like for the Cardinals this year? I know Jacoby Brissett, remember he held out, then he got his deal. He's going to be the starter, but I keep looking at Carson Beck, and please like, subscribe, and VEASAN by the Books podcast. We had Jonathan Von Tobel on last hour, and he and I are of like-mindedness that if you're looking for a longer shot for rookie of the year, Carson Beck might be that guy. Because Jensen, I think he's going to get run. They like what they see so far. We're going to see him tomorrow night. He's going to be the starter for the Hall of Fame game. I don't know how much we take away from that. But reports so far are good from the rookie out of Miami.
28-1 right now on DraftKings. Guys ahead of him, Casey Concepcion, who, gosh, we breathe a sigh of relief here in Cleveland, Dave. He came down hard on his shoulder. That's all we would have needed, right, to take one of the young weapons away from Shedeur Sanders. Dazon Stribling in there at 20-1. Mekhi Lemon also has a hamstring issue, so watch that one early in camp, 10-1. Jadarian Price, so I know a lot of people on this network, Tim Murray, kind of the first to take a look at him at 9-1 there out in Seattle to be a rookie of the year. Jordan Tyson, Carnell Tate, who I wrote up on our NFL betting guide at +550. And then, of course, Fernando Mendoza +425 and Jeremiah Love at 4-1. If you had to place a wager right now, Dave, would you want a quarterback in the offensive rookie of the year market, or would you pivot, and what position would you pivot to?
I would probably look to Beck. That's the guy that I identified early on as the playing time should be there. You got to get that, right? That's the hardest part for rookie quarterbacks. We talked about it on our show a lot last year. We were giving out Tyler Shuck when he was about 100-1. Remember that? And we're like, well, man, he's now the guy. They've given the keys, turned him over. Eventually, I would think they're going to turn those keys over. And I don't know what the car is going to look like to drive. But when you do have a Love out there in the backfield, that could be a pretty good young nucleus that they're going to start to build out there in Arizona. And so it might look a little bit better. Look, do you want to wait on that market? Absolutely. You can wait until you see that Carson Beck's going to be the guy. It's kind of like the Mendoza selection there with Las Vegas. You think eventually he's going to get enough opportunity to possibly cash that ticket. But you know, as long as they're competitive with Kirk Cousins, that's going to limit those opportunities for a guy like Fernando Mendoza. I don't see the Arizona Cardinals being that competitive earlier in the year like we might see the Raiders. So therefore, that's why I do like that number, Jensen. Again, I don't play these markets. We're very transparent about that because you have to walk down Narrative Street. But if you're looking for a longer shot, that's probably where I'd look around that 30-1 number here on Carson Beck before the season actually begins. Okay, before it begins in college football, not a surprise that you see the big boys up there in the coaches poll. That's Ohio State, Oregon, and Georgia. Maybe a slight surprise that Indiana, who still a lot of experts still like, are not a part of that triumvirate. Jensen, does that surprise you at all that the reigning defendings are at least early on the outside of that pole position?
I to me, selfishly, no. And I think when you have the kind of change you do at quarterback and you lose the weaponry that you do offensively, you are going to have to prove it. And I'm okay with that. I know Kurt Cignetti is. Everything is earned. It's not given. And I think Ohio State, rightly the number one team to start. They have the best player in college football in Jeremiah Smith. They may have a top five quarterback in Julian Sain right out of the get-go. And Bo Jackson is going to be a force to be reckoned with in the backfield. Can the defense create what they did last year? They'll still be one of the elite units in college football from week one.
And yet in our betting guide, only one person picked Ohio State to win the national championship. Jensen Lewis. Let's go. Let's talk some Big 12. What might they have to say about the college football playoff? That's all next right here. VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We're talking some golf coming up here. Wyndham Championship. It's the last event before we get to the FedEx Cup playoffs this year. Wednesdays with Wes. Wes Reynolds will join the program here in the very next hour. Get his expertise as usual. But we are very excited. College Football Betting Guide is out right now here as a part. If you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you have access to that today. You can get it if you're not yet at $9.99. I'm going to break down the Big 12 today in today's edition of the Daily Docket.
Your snapshot of odds, trends, and futures. This is the Daily Docket.
Interesting conference. And Jensen, when you look at it as a whole, I think our experts can understand why Texas Tech is odds on to win this conference at $1.05. And we're not talking about Brendan Sorsby, which is kind of nice, because I felt like for, about a month, Jensen, it felt like it was a different story every day. And is he going to be the quarterback of this football team? And the school's getting injunctions and we're in courtrooms and doing all this stuff. And even without Sorsby, who is not in the mix, people, he's not coming back, they still are the odds-on favorites to win. I mean, normally you would think that'd be quarterback dependent, not independent, but I guess that's where we are in Lubbock, that these days guns up, that this is the best team, at least on paper, in the Big 12.
Welcome into the equation, Will Hammond. Let's see what you can do here. Coming off a torn ACL, okay, so we'll see what happens, and where things go from there. But bottom line, as Jonathan Von Tobel told us earlier before, if people are just joining us, when you look at how dominant they were defensively and knowing where they were from a big play and needing it so much offensively to be as productive as they were, there are your first two question marks is, okay, if the quarterback doesn't have the offensive line, play that they did from a year ago and coming off of injury, okay, we already have our first issue. Should they be odds on?
Ooh.
I picked BYU to win this conference. And I do think that there is a pretty clear line of demarcation with where the two teams are from a talent perspective. Are these the two most talented and deepest teams in the conference? I would agree with that. BYU's schedule, okay, early on is very, very favorable. You'll have Utah Tech. You have a home game against Arizona. And hey, Arizona is going to have some resistance, but BYU should be able to hold serve at home. You're on the road against Colorado State. You're going to be upwards of a 3-touchdown favorite there. Then TCU, okay? And knowing that TCU has kind of, you know, been that team that can give other Big 12 opponents fits in the past, that's a projected 3.5-point favorite for the Cougars in Fort Worth. You get past that, you're home against Iowa State. Don't know if that's a letdown spot because guess who's on deck? Notre Dame. So, you know, interesting schedule spot there. If you're looking to take, you know, right now what's projected of 19 points for the Cyclones, I just think the quarterback play in this conference is going to be paramount. And Barry Bachmeier could be that ultimate difference maker in a position that it, not only could he be the best in the conference, but he could be one of those Heisman candidates that if you start strong and you have a signature performance middle of the year against the Irish, I don't know necessarily if you got to win. I mean, if you win it, he's going to be in the conversation. But their early portion of the schedule is pretty favorable, and I would fully expect them to be undefeated headed into playing the Irish.
If you're watching this on FanDuel Sports Network on YouTube TV, you will see that right now behind Texas Tech, as you mentioned with BYU, odds to win the Big 12 is +550. You see the drop-off to Utah at 9-1, and then you get to the double digits and starts at 15-1 with the Cougs of Houston. And the reason why I bring this up is look in the middle column. BYU to make the college football playoff is +350. Utah to make the college football playoff is 5-1. If you look at DraftKings, you will find a discrepancy, and this is why we always talk about you need to shop around to get the best numbers, because there they have Utah almost on par with BYU. They have Utah +350 and BYU at +330. So slight adjustments there. And Jensen, what I'm getting at, if it's that tightly lined, and boy, is it always between BYU and Utah, that it's maybe a 20-cent difference that we're seeing to make the college football playoff. And yet, to win the conference, it's almost a $4 betting difference there. That doesn't add up to me. Something feels askew there. Are the Utes, I guess my question to you would be, closer to BYU in the betting market? Should they be closer than 550 to 9-1 as the second and third betting choice? Should that be closer to BYU and Utah on par as the second betting choice to knock off Texas Tech?
Well, the look-ahead line for just the head-to-head matchup in the Holy War, and that is November 7th, that will be in Salt Lake City right there for Utah. Right now, Utah laying a half point on the look-ahead line, and I think that's an interesting spot, just knowing that throughout the records, when these two schools come together, it is one of the great rivalries. If you have not watched that in earnest, say your prayers now for what that will look like, and we hope that it does materialize into it. Farther down the line, I don't know if I can get on board with Avery Johnson and Kansas State. Every time I want to kind of get excited about their offense and the dual threat nature of what he's able to do, I usually get let down. So I don't know if I want to invest there. Jace Brown, who was their absolute burner, is now a member of the LSU Tigers, and I think is going to reap the benefits of catching passes from Sam Levitt in that offense here moving forward. You're looking at Jerron Tibbs, Josh Manning, that are probably going to be the guys there. So it'll be interested to see who actually can catch passes from Avery Johnson there at a Kansas State team. Still, I think, accurately priced to win the Big 12 there upwards of 16-1. Arizona State would be a team. And I think for first and foremost, Kenny Dillingham, get that guy into a suit jacket and have him be a salesman wherever you are. That dude can go out and talk and try and win over and get some money with the best of them. Interested to see what this offense kind of looks like And what will they be able to produce week in and week out? They have a very tough test at Texas A&M in week two. They're right now about upwards of a 2-touchdown underdog. Arizona State is. But then after that, home against Kansas, then Baylor at home, Hawaii at home, then you're at Texas Tech. So again, if you're looking farther down the board, I just don't know if Kenny Dillingham's crew has enough here offensively to kind of hang with some of the upper echelon teams in Texas Tech and BYU.
When I look at the conference as a whole, and I think we all expect Texas Tech to be in the college football playoff, if they don't win this conference outright, well, we had 14 of the 22 selections here in the college football betting guide pick Texas Tech to win this conference. So that'd be an automatic bid. For those that need a little refresher course on what the college football playoff looks like this year, it will constitute 12 teams. It will have the four highest ranked conference champions getting those automatic bids. Okay, so you say, well, that gives you 8 other spots. Not exactly, because group of five, the highest ranked champion from the group of five will also get one. Well, you say, well, great. Okay, so there's still 7 at-large spots for somebody else in the Big 12. Not exactly, because Notre Dame, and what I will call the dumbest rule in the history of college football, they will be guaranteed a spot if they finish inside the top 12 of voting. Why we are making special exceptions for Notre Dame, I'll never know. But that is, in fact this year, Jensen. So we assume Notre Dame will be automatically in just by being voted into the top 12. Insanity, but that's where we are. So I ask you, if 6 spots are already taken out of the top 12 and your name isn't Texas Tech, if Texas Tech is the only way that they're going to get 2 bids is if somebody else not named Texas Tech wins the conference.
Okay. If I'm assuming it's Texas Tech and BYU, and by the way, BYU does not see Texas Tech in the regular season on the schedule. If your only loss for BYU is to Notre Dame, who we all believe is going to be in the college football playoff, and your only let's just say this 2-loss team, because we're going to get a lot of arguments about 2-loss teams this year. All right. Let's say that BYU's loss is a tightly contested loss against Notre Dame, a tightly contested loss in the Big 12 title game against Texas Tech. How are we leaving them out? Kalani Sitake is going to get this. Watch it happen. It's going to happen again where the Cougars are going to be in the conversation. If they don't get blown out like they did this past year, then are they, as a 2-loss team, when their only losses are to who we think could be a top 5 team in Notre Dame, a conference champion in Texas Tech? Wow. I'm telling you, I just like BYU to get a chance to at least run the table, if not have just 1 loss in the Big 12 headed into that conference title game.
I just hope if BYU somehow beats Notre Dame, then loses to Texas Tech in the conference title game.
We got Miami all over again.
Oh, we get a 2.0, Jensen. It would be amazing. Let's talk some golf. We're going to bet the build here for the Wyndham Championship. I'll give you 2 guys to keep an eye on. That's all next right here. VSiN by the books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the books on this Wednesday morning. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you. A lot of fun talking a lot of college football. That betting guide is out right now, $9.99. If you're not a VSiN Pro subscriber already, you need to get access to it. We're going to be talking a lot more college football, NFL, of course. We got the Hall of Fame game coming up. But let's talk some golf here. We're going to have Wes Reynolds join the program, as we've done each and every Wednesday here, to try to find some value out there. And Jensen, this is the last tournament and really kind of the last look of what the quote-unquote old PGA Tour might look like here with the Wyndham Championship before we get to the FedEx Cup, which will begin next week. And really, we don't know what next year is going to look like, the 2 tracks, you know, the Champions League and the Challenger Series. It's going to look different, and we don't know exactly how it's all going to shake out. But for this iteration of the Wyndham Championship, and by the way, Cameron Young is the reigning defending and got his first PGA Tour win here a year ago. And I talk about this on the context of, we just saw Jackson Koivin win. We just saw Michael Thor Bjornsson win. and these guys winning for the first time in the PGA Tour. Jensen, it does feel like we're seeing a lot of that now, that without some of the bigger names that are resting and getting ready for the FedEx Cup playoffs. Yes, Cameron Young is in here. Yes, you got another major champion in Hideki Matsuyama in here. But it does feel like there are opportunities to go down the board a little bit to try to find first-time winners, as we've seen on back-to-back weeks in the PGA Tour.
All right, to Sedgefield Country Club here, Dave, is a Donald Ross layout. As someone who just played a Donald Ross layout at Bedford Springs, boy, Pennsylvania, this past weekend, I can tell you that driving accuracy and positioning will definitely matter more than distance, okay? So I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you are in position and you are accurate, you are in great shape. I don't give a damn how far you hit the ball. That gets me to our bet the build here. And the final one that we really have that you can, you know, have a good opportunity to select from a lot of different guys and differentiate your lineups. Mm-hmm. Let me start with our FanDuel lineup. And no shock here. The one part of this bet the build week, Dave, because it is that final tournament before the playoffs, is there's not going to be a lot of differential. You have motivated guys, and then you have others that are just going for positioning. So Cameron Young's going to be in both my lineups. No shock here. And then listening to the sage veteran of golf week in and week out, Kelly Bidlin, a big fan of his show upcoming after ours in Numbers Game. He was talking Hideki Matsuyama is one of his early placement plays. So I said, you know what? Let me throw Hideki in here. Obviously, strong form from Hideki, one of the best pure iron players in the field. And so for accuracy and positioning, love to have that. Good old Blades Brown, Dave, the 19-year-old with special temporary membership, going to find his way through here. A little B squared, always is good for the heart. Alex Smalley, a guy that we have really benefited from and had a lot of cashes on this year, is going to find his way in. Sahith Theegala. The talent is there. He's been inconsistent this year, Dave. So for the salary and for the upside, I think it's reasonable to throw him in there. And again, not a smash play by any means, but certainly for the price, I'll take a shot on him. And then Andrew Putnam, his accuracy off the tee and the strong short game is great. He's one of the shorter hitting players, if I remember correctly. So I'm not as worried about his distance in this setup here. So I'll get your early reaction and your first look here. Cameron Young, Hideki Matsuyama, Blades Brown, Alex Smalley, Sahith Theegala, Andrew Putnam for our FanDuel Bet the Bill.
Okay, there is a theme that's going to be happening here, and one of my two to watch is on your first lineup. Now, Counselor, I will not say, Your Honor, which one is in there, because I do not want to give away the store. So if you don't mind, I will plead the fifth, as is my constitutional right, and then come back and we will circle back, as some would say, and get back to my two to watch. But you've already nailed one of my two, Jensen. I just can't tell you which one yet.
Yeah, Jen Psaki, circle it back. Okay, we'll circle to the DraftKings lineup here. And a lot of similarities. So there's really only one difference for me. What I did was I took out Sahith Theegala and I put in Jordan Spieth for my DraftKings lineup. Just the salary opportunity was a little bit better, and just kind of knowing where the upside is for Spieth, the variance is probably a bit more than Theegala, but when he gets hot, he can go low. Hopefully he doesn't continue the mediocre stretch that he's been on. I think this is a leverage play, Dave, and for those that really are big on ownership in DFS tournaments week in and week out, I don't know if people are going to be running to play Jordan Spieth. So again, those are my two variants, guys. Sahith Theegala for FanDuel, Jordan Spieth in my DraftKings lineup. So I like my correlation. I like my strong two guys atop the board, Cameron Young, Hideki Matsuyama, good anchors for both the lineups. And we'll hope some of the youngsters in Blades Brown and Alex Smalley are going to be able to get us home here. So I think, and I'll get your final thought on kind of where both of them are. I think Brown is my best value play. Smalley is probably good enough to justify where he is. And then Putnam is probably my best salary saver. Again, he's not going to win this thing, but I think he definitely gets us into the weekend.
Okay, now we can advance this conversation here. Now that you've fully disclosed your picks here on FanDuel and DraftKings, my two to watch. I've got Blades Brown on there, Jensen. I love the kid this week. And it really does go in lockstep with what's been happening. I mentioned the Jackson Koivun, 21 years young, winning 2 weeks ago at the 3M Open, first time on the PGA Tour. Michael Thorbjørnsen last week, 24 years young, winning for the first time on the PGA Tour. You mentioned Blades Brown with that special exemption. He's going from the Korn Ferry Tour to the PGA Tour. He's kind of straddling the fence here. This kid is 19 years old, America. And he is supremely talented. Now, can he go win this tournament? I'm not quite sure if he can do that, but I love what you've done to put him in your lineups. I think it's a really astute observation. We'll get Wes Reynolds' thoughts on Blades Brown this week, too, because I do think he's a guy you've got to keep your eye on. The talent oozes. And we kind of talked about this with a Jackson Koivun. When there's no scar tissue for some of these younger kids coming out, and I'm not saying that this is not, you know, we still have a Cameron Young on there as defending. You mentioned Hideki Matsuyama, won a Masters. There's still class guys on this at this event this week at the Wyndham. But these are guys that Blades Brown plays with. Like, he's not going to be in awe of this field by any stretch of the imagination. So Blades Brown's going to go out there this week and feel like, man, I can compete. The other guy that I'm going to keep an eye on this week is Maverick McNealy. And again, kind of in the same vein as what we saw from Michael Thor last week. That Michael Thorbjørnsen had said, hey, I saw what Jackson Koivun did the week before, and it's almost like, well, why not me? Maverick McNealy's already won the PGA Tour. He's already been up there with the big boys in, you know, come down the stretch against Ludvig Åberg last year out there in California, came second. So it's not like Mav hasn't been in those spots before. But he now, to use our Top Gun analogy, is flying below the radar all of a sudden and below the hard decks. I need him to get back above the hard decks and show everybody he's still one of the best putters out there. You mentioned a Donald Ross golf course. Man, I've played a number of those in my time, and I always curse the name Ross out there because I can't putt in those greens because they can be so damn tricky sometimes that Donald Ross has out there, Jensen. So a guy like Maverick McNealy, who can be and is one of the best putters on tour, with a guy like Blades Brown, who's got none of that scar tissue out there and feels like Jackson Koivun, that they're going to just make everything that they look at right now. Those are the type of guys I'm looking at this week to have a really good week. You know, Cameron Young's interesting because he's still had a great year. When you win the Players' Championship after winning the Wyndham a year ago, it's undoubtedly a great year. But I think for his purposes, he feels like even though he won, you know, the fifth major, as they call it, out there in Florida, I still feel like he feels like it should be better. I'll be interested to see what Cameron Young does, because you got to remember, the last couple of weeks here, he's had chances on Sundays to have big rounds, and he hasn't done it. So with this young crop that has arrived, interesting names like Cameron Young and Hideki Matsuyama at the top of the odds board, you can understand why. You know the second betting choice is this week? It's Jackson Koivun again. I did already play him even money, Jensen, to give me a top 20. I missed out on a top 20 with Jackson last week. I'm going right back to the well on him, and I will be playing Blades Brown and Maverick McNealy for top 20s as well. Have not bet them yet in the outright markets, and it's hard for me, Jensen, to back Jackson Koivun at 16-1 already, but the kids have arrived, man. They absolutely have, and it would not surprise me at all that on Monday we're talking about Blades Brown as a 19-year-old winning on the PGA Tour, Jensen. It would not be out of the realm of possibility.
Going to be fun to see, right? Any placement markets that you'll jump in, or are you going to dabble in first round leader knowing we got more motivation for guys because they've got to score points to try and qualify for the playoff?
Confession, like Usher. I've already played small pizza money plays on Blades Brown, first round leader. I'll give you those exact numbers here before the show's over. I got to go back to the account. I think about 45-1. And I did play Maverick McNealy, first round leader as well. So two guys already on my card. And those are small plays, people, because first round leaders can be very, very tricky. But I do like them. And top 20, again, Jackson Koivun, even money. If you can find it, people, I would hammer that spot. I think he's going to be in the top 20, if not in the top five again. Let's talk some baseball. Daily Diamond straight ahead, and what we saw yesterday, what we might see today. That's all next right here. VSiN by the books.
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
The Circus Survivor documentary is heating up, and tonight's episode is called The Turning Point for very good reason. Week 5, for the first time in Circus Survivor history, the number one pick of the week goes down in flames on a Thursday night, and the chaos that follows is unlike anything this contest has seen before. By the time weeks 6 through 9 play out, the contenders separate from the pretenders, and the pressure gets very, very real. $18.7 million on the line. Watch tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern on VSiN. If you have to catch up on episodes 1 and 2, they are on YouTube right now. All you have to do is search VSiN Live. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here as we continue this Wednesday edition of VSiN by the Books. And again, we're going to have Wes Reynolds join us in the next hour, talk all things golf in the Wyndham Championship, one of the last regular tour stops we might see for quite some time. But Jensen, let's get back to baseball here. What we saw yesterday, what you like on the diamond today. You were super hot last night with your picks. That's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Diamond. Again, we have ups and downs in Major League Baseball betting. You certainly had an up yesterday. For VSiN Pro subscribers, Jensen, did I hear a niner in there? Was that 9-0 for Jay Lou yesterday?
9-0. We are very appreciative of the bounce back. It had been some tough sledding here for better part of 3 weeks, man. Unlucky in some certain circumstances. And again, this is why we preach consistency, stick with your process, make your adjustments where you need to. But excited to get an undefeated night in a very significant over 22 units of profit just in last night's winning alone. Let's go back to it here. And we do have an intriguing day slate today, Dave. And one game that I am targeting, I'm going to go right back to the Astros, who I backed last night. We're going to take them on the alternate run line, -1 at -$1.21 for 2 units. This is going to be Hunter Brown in a day game, getaway day opportunity against Jameson Taillon. Good hitting opportunity for the Houston Astros. Love them right now because 4 of the last 5 home starts by Hunter Brown, they have won those games by at least 2 or more runs. Toronto is a little underwater covering the run line as a road underdog, which they are today, 10-12, nothing crazy. But I'm going to ride the hot offense, and I'm also going to take into account that when you put the offensive performance you do from a night before and it's a quick turnaround, usually that benefits the home team. So 2-unit play here, Astros -1, -$1.21 against Toronto this afternoon.
And by the way, I was interested in that game last night just from an overall perspective, and Trey Savage left that game. Jensen, they're worried about his knee. The way he exited that game last night. And now I'm worried about Toronto. And what I loved about that starting rotation that we talked about with Savage having to go out yesterday, that's a bit of bad luck. I don't know if they have visions of grandeur. I know John Schneider is not going to wave the white flag anytime soon, but certainly not good news on the injury front there. So keep an eye on that. If you're a Blue Jay backer going forward, they might not have the talents and services of young Trey Savage. You've got to play with my Metropolitans. It was so enjoyable. I was saying this to our esteemed producer, Joe Friso, just watching competent baseball yesterday for the majority of it with the Mets getting a nice, easy 6-2 win yesterday. Sean Manaea was very good on the bump. What about today? Can the guards bounce back at home?
I think they can. And I was as shocked as you were yesterday to see that this dismal offensive performance from the Guardians continued. I'm kidding. Sarcasm. this is a team that I don't really think has staying power. But for a night, I think the situation is right. Tanner Bibee, last 4 games started, 2.77 ERA. He's been pretty competent at home. And Christian Scott on the road, Mets have lost 2 of his last 3 road starts. Now, they have been lower scoring, and I think that kind of holds true here tonight. I could see offense at a premium for both sides. So I'm going to go 2.5-unit play on the Guardians +1.5. Now, it is -$1.70, which is why we're going the elevated units there. But I do think the Guardians, I get a couple of bites at the apple here, Dave. If they lose by 1, still a winner. Or if they win it outright, I'd rather have the cushion here. You've seen it plenty. Christian Scott has thrown the ball extremely well. Going to definitely be in the rotation plans for the Mets next year. But for a night and looking where we could be, keep an eye on lineups here too. We did get news last night that Angel Heenow is going to be brought up and promoted, one of the top prospects for the Cleveland Guardians. They're still working through the Jose Ramirez wrist issues. Remember, he had the hamate surgery and has, you know, just come back here in the last couple of weeks. Gabriel Arias, who got booed like hell last night, he should have. I am hoping that the roster move is that he gets sent out, because he has been literally ineffective in so many different ways. So keep an eye on lineups tonight. Hopefully Ramirez is in there. If not, still like getting the run and a half here on the Guardian side.
I've seen some crazy splits in my time watching Major League Baseball through the decades. I don't know that I've seen one this dramatic. The Royals are 47-67, 20 games under 500. You know what their record is at home? 27-27. They're 500 at home for a team that's 20 games under 500. Whoa. Jensen, I guess the good news, if you're back in the Royals, they're back at Kauffman Stadium today.
Not only that, but Noah Cameron, who has been one of the bright spots in the rotation, is going to get the start tonight. Dean Kramer will make his Minnesota Twin debut. Remember, he was acquired from the Baltimore Orioles before the trade deadline. Here's why I like the matchup tonight. We are going to do the same kind of deal here, and we're going to go take the Royals plus 1.5. Now, I know some places right now that they are laying a 1.5. I don't want to get that aggressive. I'd rather err on the side of caution here. So Royals plus 1.5 here, minus $1.86. Noah Cameron, back-to-back starts, Dave. No runs allowed. His last start, you got it, in Target Field against these Twins. 8 innings, 1 hit, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts. Traditionally, it's advantage offense when you see a starter back-to-back times. But I just think the way Cameron is going here, I like the matchup. And looking at Dean Kramer on the other side, Dave, his last two starts, how about a 12.60 ERA? 16 hits allowed in his last 10 innings pitch, including 3 home runs. I get Bobby Witt Jr. back from the IL last night. He hit the ground running. I get Jack Kags as left-handed power against this right-handed soft tosser. Let's go to work here, man. Come on, Royal Blue. I want to see that Circus Sports right field fence signia in my view later on tonight for some balls that are leaving the fence, with that Royal Blue boys really being able to do some damage.
Maybe the Royals can get hot and pull off a Red Sox and go 24-4. So you're telling me there's a chance. Jensen, when you're looking at the Dodgers, Eric Lauer is going to be on the bump here in the north side of Chicago against Shota Imanaga. And right now, the Cubs are favored to sweep away the Dodgers. I know we're not concerned about the Dodgers big picture, but you know, you make a move to go get Tarek Skubal, and I think some people would say, well, that's because you don't want to see the Eric Lauers of the world still in this rotation. But with the injuries that they have, and they still are significant, at least to the starting rotation, he's going to be on the bump again tonight for Dodger Blue. What do you make of this game? And do you think this losing streak might continue?
Yeah, this is an afternoon affair here with Eric Lauer, Shota Imanaga. And if I'm looking at where we are just in momentum, I would think that you would understand the Cubs want to try and go for it early. The problem is Shota Imanaga has been giving up home runs left, right, and center. I still don't trust where Chicago is if Imanaga doesn't get staked to an early lead. Now, that being said, you'd imagine plenty of right-handed hitters to start for Dave Roberts. Does that mean you sit, you know, a Max Muncy? I don't think so. Does that mean, you know, you kind of shuffle the lineup with the injury issues? No, I think you keep running it back out there. No real feel just for a gameplay right now, Dave. I will wait to see lineups for this matchup. But boy, if you were to tell me Cubs have a chance to sweep the Dodgers, knowing that Tarek Skubal was going to pitch in one of these games in this series, I said, that's a pretty tall task, but felt the situation was right last night to take advantage of it. Glad we got that money, that big money line price home.
Okay, you don't see this very often, but you're seeing it a little bit more and more. Paul Skeens, a dog, plus $1.28 tonight against Kyle Harrison and the Brew Crew in Milwaukee. Is this a reflection of Skeens or team combination that the Brewers are the Brewers and Skeens has not been the same guy that we're so accustomed to for the majority of his young career?
This is Kyle Harrison respect with the Brewers. Ooh. At home. And definitely looking at where the Brewers have been able to get off the mat as a big win yesterday for them. And also you're looking at where Paul Skeens has been a bit pedestrian. So I'd be imagining a little bit of urgency if I am the Pittsburgh offense here. Just looking at Skeens' last handful of starts, back-to-back starts, they've allowing 5 runs in each.
Wow.
That ERA for those scoring at home for Paul Skeens, that is a 9.64 ERA in his last 9 1/3. Very, very un-Skeens-like.
I did not think that was plausible in 2026, Paul Skeens being healthy. That is quite the shock to the system. Okay, what goes up must come down. Stock up, stock down. We're going to play that game next. And also, Wes Reynolds joining us in hour number 3, straight ahead right here on VSiN by the Books.